Before I get into the message, we're reading a book, Small Church Essentials. And one of the things that really was encouraging to me in the book is he talks about small churches, and I might have mentioned this before, but he says small churches can have this huge percentage-wise changes of how many people are in church on a Sunday morning. If you have normally, in our case, if we were here, we were 60, and then the next week we have 30, and it's like, okay, a whole bunch of people are gone, and it's just kind of normal. And the next week, on the 10th, we'll have the baptism, and we've got to make sure we set up extra rows, and this is kind of, it's going to be 25% higher. And they said, this is a normal part of life for a small church. And, they used to bother me greatly, honestly. But now it's like, okay, this is normal. And so, we got a whole bunch of people on vacation, and Walcos are out in New York, and they take that whole section. So it's just for those of us who are here, good to be here. And this morning we're going to look at the fourth commandment again on Sabbath. And so if you have your Bible, turn with me to Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. It is found on page 65 on the black Bibles that are on your seats. So we'll just look at the fourth commandment and continue our study on Sabbath rest. Everybody there? It's page 65, Exodus 20. We're going on. No, this is good. Yeah, I'll start. There we go, right there. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath. Sabbath in the Hebrew literally means stop. The direct translation of Sabbath is stop. So the seventh day is a stop to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor the animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. A translation or a way to define holy is set apart. So he made the Sabbath day, and he calls us to keep the Sabbath day and keep it set apart. Set apart being different from the rest of your week. This past Friday morning, I got up at my normal 6:15, and I just could not get going. I get up at 6:15, Caitlin had her last day of school, she's got to be at school at 7, she leaves the school, it gets there about 7, so I'm up at 6:15, and then when she goes out the door, I go out the door, and so I'm usually here by 7:30, which is great because I love the morning, nobody's around, nobody calls, I can get work, I start with my time of prayer, Friday morning, I could not get out the door. I just couldn't get, anybody ever had those mornings, just can't, I had 3 cups of coffee, and I still couldn't go. I realized as I got here and realized in the last 3 weeks, I've either worked for Horizon, Strategic Renewal, Friendly Stitches, cleaning carpets for Earl, or projects around the house every day for the last 3 weeks, and I have not stopped a whole day to take a Sabbath. And then it hit me. It's kind of ironic that I'm preaching a series on the Sabbath, and I'm not even practicing what I'm preaching. Which then reminded me, this is not abnormal for all of us, is it? This idea that God gives us, this picture of Sabbath, of stopping from our work, stopping from our incessant to-do lists, stopping and unplugging from these stupid things that keep us connected to work all the time, and putting it aside into this craziness of all of this stuff, God says, stop. Stop the need to keep going. Stop the need to do one more thing. Stop. Breathe. Rest. God in his commandment says, stop. You shall not do anything. You shall not do any work. You shall not let your family do any work. You shall not let your servants do any work. You shall not let your animals do any work, nor are you to take advantage of those foreigners in your city and make them work for you. It doesn't matter where you are on any social scale. This is the great equalizer before God, that all of you are to stop. Stop the labor. Stop all your work. Stop those to-do lists, the shopping and the laundry and all those things that you just have to get done. They can wait. Stop the commerce. Fourth commandment talks about your sons and daughters and your manservants and maidservants. All of this was about commerce. Stop commerce. We grew up and we never went out for dinner on Sunday. We never went shopping on Sunday. And I always thought, these are just the dumbest rules. What in the world? And now I get it. Just stop this incessant need for more. Stop this incessant need to keep going. Stop this incessant need. God's just saying, stop. Last week we looked at the purpose of the Sabbath. And we looked at the purpose of the Sabbath is to enjoy God, to enjoy one another, and to enjoy creation. The purpose of the Sabbath is for the external rest of the body and the inner rest of the soul. A Sabbath is vital for enjoying life. So what are we to stop? Stop working. We are not indispensable. If you don't get that to-do list at work done by Monday morning, the world will not end because of you. The world will not stop running if you don't get that report done, answer that email, respond to a Facebook post or a tweet or the email that says, you have got to get this done now. No. No one's going to die if you don't respond to that email. At least I hope not. Nobody is going to fall off the face of the earth if you take a day to rest. I think part of the Sabbath, where God calls us to stop working, helps us realize that we're not the center of the universe. That the world is not dependent upon you to get something done. Now, none of us, I admit, none of us would say, yes, I'm the center of the universe, but we often work that way. Like, I got to get this, I got to do this. God says, stop. We as Christians don't do this stopping thing, this Sabbath, really well. You know who does Sabbath very well? The Jewish people. Jewish people, and the ones who actually follow Jewish religions and customs, stop. They stop on Friday night at sundown, and they don't do anything until Saturday evening at sundown. They have a full 24 hours, and they stop. Rabbi Arthur Green says it this way. He says, part of each Shabbat Sunday celebration is based on admitting that we are still slaves to work. Oppressed today by the fast pace of our work lives and the pressures of living in a highly achievement-oriented society. Our taskmasters today may be electronic rather than human, tempting us rather than whipping us to hard work, just a little faster and harder. Our ability to leave them behind once a week is our proclamation of freedom, a true cause for celebration. To stop. We need to stop wanting. The Sabbath teaches us to stop wanting, to stop needing this incessant need for commerce, to stop going and getting something else that we think will fill us. We have this notion, and the world keeps telling us, that if we just get this, or we get this, or we get this, just a little more of that, or a little, then we'll be fulfilled, then we'll be happy. Have you ever bought something thinking, man, this is going to be it? This is going to make me happy. I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get, and then, and you realize as soon as you get it, it's like, this is not working. If we don't get out of that cycle of keep wanting, if we don't stop for one day to stop the cycle of I need to have this, I need to have this, and the thing that fills me and will only fill me is God alone, then we'll have this incessant cycle. That's why God says stop trying. Last week we sang the song that came from Psalm 62 that says, my soul finds rest in God alone. It doesn't find rest in the next thing. It doesn't find rest in achievement. It doesn't find rest. The only way our soul will find rest is to be filled with God. We need to stop worrying. Stop worrying about what has been. Stop being anxious about tomorrow. And really holding on. The opposite of worrying is holding on to the sovereignty of God. The opposite of that is just holding on and saying, God, you're God, I'm not. I'm going to have to let you take care of this one. The original sin, as we look at Adam and Eve, is that they wanted to be God. The temptation was, you will know what's right and wrong and the difference. The temptation was, you are going to be equal with God. There's this temptation of sin that I'm going to control my own life. I'm going to control my own future. I'm going to make all my own decisions. I'm going to do life my way without even consulting God and not even caring what God thinks. And so when we put aside the sovereignty of God, when we just say, you know what, God, I'm going to live life my way. I'm going to make my own decisions. I'm going to do what I want. Then it leads to anxiety and worry and all this other stuff. And so a Sabbath day sets a day aside where it's like, okay, God, I'm going to let you be God and I'm going to stop trying to be God. I'm going to let you have that job because it's not in my job description. And so it's stopping. God gives us the Sabbath. God gives us, commands us to stop. Now, we come up with all kinds of excuses, don't we? Well, I can't afford to, and I got to get this done, and I got to do that, and if I don't do this now, it's never going to get done, and on and on. And our excuse is that we can't afford to, but the reality is we can't afford not to. Because if you've ever gone for an extended period of time without stopping, you realize the consequences of not stopping. The benefits of taking a Sabbath are huge. I was looking at this week, and I could have come up with a list of like a whole bunch of things. One of the lists I looked at were from like Inc. magazine, you know, some business magazine that said the benefits of taking a day off from work and unplugging your phone and so the business world is saying, take a day and leave it all behind. Even the business world understands the wisdom of God telling us to stop. The benefits of taking a Sabbath, that we get to rest mentally. The benefit of taking a Sabbath day where we unplug and get away from all the work and do that is we're actually more productive when we do go back to work. It increases a work-life balance. We realize that the world won't stop if we do. Benefit of the Sabbath is to rekindle or build new relationships, is to get a different understanding of life, that you are not the center of the universe and neither am I. Harold Kushner. Anybody ever heard of Harold Kushner? He's a Jewish rabbi. He's got some great stuff, great writing. He's written some good novels as well. He writes this way. He says, I would like to think that Sabbath observance, like virtue, is its own reward. That it's worth doing, not because it makes you a better worker, but because it makes you a better human being in the parts of your life that have nothing to do with work. God gives us a Sabbath. God calls us and tells us to stop because it fills us. It renews us. It refreshes us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 11 says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Author of the Hebrews realizes that only God can give rest. And our rest gives us a break from the rat race, from the pressure that our world tells us to constantly perform, from the enslavement that our identity comes from not who we are in Christ, but what we do and what we accomplish. And so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, given to us because that is what God put into the rhythm of his creation and the rhythm of what he wants us and how he calls us to live. I'm beginning, as I'm working on this in the last few weeks, realizing the fourth commandment is not about a whole bunch of rules. It's not about, you got to do this because I commanded you so. God's saying, I created you not for work, not for getting things done, but to be in a relationship with me and others. And enjoy it. To take a break and just enjoy life, because you people keep working, and if I don't tell you to stop, you're not going to. I mean, God does tell us to stop, and we still don't, but that's, you know, that's where he talks about the same sort of disobedience there. But God wants what's best for us. God wants us to be filled. And so we are invited to stop. Invited to stop on purpose. To stop with a reason. To stop with a reason to identify what's missing. Do we really care about the things that we say we care about? Do we really prioritize the things that we really say we prioritize? Are we prioritizing God in our life if we come to church on Sunday morning and then at 12:30 go to work? Are we prioritizing God if we go and for just a few moments in one day, whether my Sabbath is not on Sunday, my Sabbath is generally on Mondays. Am I honoring God if I just go to work on a Monday without taking a Sabbath later in the week? What's missing in my life? What am I looking for if I keep doing this? Stopping on purpose to wonder at his sovereignty. You ever wonder, just be in awe and wonder, that God controls his world? That God has worked in your life and in ways that you don't even know about for his accomplishing his purposes. Even when we're disobedient, he still, in his sovereignty, works. Do we stop on purpose to pay attention? Not just time management, but just to look around and pay attention to the world around us. To stop and smell the roses. To stop in an amazingly warm day like this to enjoy shade. Do we stop in order to practice his presence? Do we stop for just a moment to pay attention to the Spirit's movement? It's Elijah that went up to the mountain, and Moses. I mean, it was both Elijah and Moses, and Elijah is the one I'm thinking of. And God, you know, God's going to come to Elijah, and it's the earthquake and the wind and all this. And then the time that Elijah hears God is in the still small moment when he pays attention. Do we take enough of those still small moments on our Sabbath to pay attention? To listen to what God might be saying to us today? Do we stop to waste time? We have 6 days of oughts. You ought to do this, and you ought to do that, and you ought to do this, and you ought to do that. Do we take one day just to pursue life? To do something you enjoy, to do something that you just like? I was driving in this morning and listening to Caleb and Luis Palau. You know, he's got, if you listen to Caleb, he always has, you know, some little, you know, 30-second thing. This morning's 30-second little blurb was, do you stop and have fun? Do you have enough fun? He said, it reminded me of this. He said, if you walk around with the disciples, Jesus is walking around with the disciples, and what is he doing? They're just having fun living life together, enjoying life. Do you stop to have fun and enjoy life? And invite people to have fun with you and enjoy life with you. There was something about the disciples and Jesus that attracted people to Jesus. And maybe it was the fact that Jesus just knew how to have fun and play on his day off. Do you waste time? When's the last time you just stopped on purpose to waste time? Stopping to become whole. What are you laughing at? Did I say something funny? Okay. Are you wasting time?
Some of us are better at it.
Some? Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to go there. We'll go over here instead. Do you stop to become whole? And the picture that Jesus gives in the New Testament on Sabbath and becoming whole is renewed, rested, and restored. Have you ever noticed how many times Jesus healed on the Sabbath? And how many times the Pharisees just kind of railed on him for healing on the Sabbath? Why is it that Jesus constantly took those rules that the Pharisees made and thumbed his nose at them and healed anyways? It's because the purpose of the Sabbath is to provide healing, to be whole, to be restored. But it only works if we keep it. Do we stop on purpose to listen to God speak? Do we stop on purpose to remember? I wrote it like that way because remember is to put back together and recall. Dismember is to take apart. If you ever dismember something, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. Maybe a vacuum or a car or something, you can dismember those things. I wouldn't recommend any else, like cats or anything like that. But if you ever dismember something, it's taking it apart, right? Remembering is to bring things back together to be whole again. Do we ever recall and remember what God's done so that we can be whole again? And do we stop to practice heaven? It said heaven is our eternal rest. If we define eternal rest as I'm going to take a nap for all of eternity, don't have me go there. That does not sound fun. I take 10-minute power naps. I'm done. It's like but the idea if rest is in the Sabbath is for enjoying God, enjoying one another, and enjoying creation and having fun. Sign me up for that one. Where I don't have to work unless I really enjoy it. Our eternal rest is not this picture of sitting around laziness. It's a picture of enjoying the fullness that God called us and created us into and enjoying that forever. The Sabbath day is for us to practice a picture of heaven while yet here on earth, while we look for our eternal Sabbath fun. So, as I'm preaching, speaking mostly to myself, glad you could all listen in, what do we need to stop doing? What do you need to stop doing on your Sabbath? What do you need to stop? Just stop. And then what do you need to stop so you can do something on purpose? We're going to be looking more at that next week and saying, okay, so if we have to stop, what do we put into our 24 hours? What do we put? We're going to be looking at that and spending the morning looking at that next week. But what do we need to stop doing? And what do we need to stop to do? Anybody willing to share on this one?
In a very broad sense, you have to stop doing all the things that distract you from being a human being and being a child of God. That could be television, that could be certainly Facebook and Twitter and all the things that we consume ourselves with, the process of thinking we're alive and going forward. Realizing that we need to stop and as that smell of roses is very poetic, but it's really very true. You have to stop. Like last night, I was watching the sunset. After having a fairly long day outside, I went back out to the heat and sat there and watched the sunset. First, looking away from it and then going around and looking at it. So you need to stop and do that more regularly than once a week, but start.
What do we need to stop? What do you need to stop doing?
Rushing.
I need to stop looking at my calendar and seeing a whole day that has nothing in it and thinking this is not a good thing. What do you need to stop to do? How's that? So, just 2 minutes here. I'm just give you 2 minutes. We're just going to have 2 minutes of just a few moments of silence. I want you to think of one thing in your week ahead in this next month or so, because we have 4 Sabbaths in the next month. What do you need to stop doing, and what do you need to stop to do? So answer that question, one thing for each, and then I'll close in prayer. Lord God, we give you praise for the Sabbath rest that is for the people of God. Lord God, we give you praise for that rest that you demonstrated for us in creation, that you call us to, so that we might have life, that we might be filled. God, forgive us for our disobedience, that we constantly fill our days and constantly fill our life with all of these things, God. Teach us, Lord God, to strive into that rest that you so graciously give to us. God, help us to open that present, that gift of rest. Holy Spirit, work in us in that, so that we might experience the joy that we have in Jesus Christ to the glory of the Father. Amen.